Everybody, if you will please open your Bibles or turn your Bibles on and go to 1 Sammy chapter 23. I don't know why, but the first thing that popped in my mind was this story, which I've heard this talked about before by a guy named Dr. Michael Heiser. So there's going to be a few things I will go ahead and admit I will borrow from him just to give credit where credit's due. But this was the what popped in mind the first when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to preach on. So if you're not familiar with the story, this is a story where David saves a city called Keilah. All right, so we're going to read the first few verses here. And we'll talk a little bit about it. Okay, so starting in chapter 23, verse 1. Now they told David, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing the threshing floors." Boo indeed. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, Shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord again, and the Lord answered him, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand." And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock and struck them with a great blow. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. All right. Okay. So when we first reading the passage, David when David prays to the Lord, his prayer, if you look at it, it's almost very kind of casual. He just says, "Lord, should we just go to Keilah and save him from the Philistines?
Shall we go down and do it?" It's kind of like, so, shall we go fight him, Lord? What do you think? And David didn't seem very worried about it, but his men did. And when the Lord assured David's men that, yeah, I'll give the Philistines into your hands, they go down and fight. And I'm sure it was probably a glorious battle. David there doing his thing, going up to the Philistines, going, "I'm David, son of Jesse, you uncircumcised Philistine, prepare to die." Okay. That was All right, but after the victory, we read down here in verse 6, it says, "When Abiathar, the son of Amalek, had fled to David to Keilah, he had come down with an ephod in his hand. Now it was told that David had come to Keilah, and Saul said, 'God has given him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars.' And Saul summoned all the people to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men." Now, we're going to back up just a tiny bit here. If we go to the verses before chapter 23, you'll read a story where Saul killed all the priests in the city of Nod. The one person who escaped was Abiathar, who was the son of the priest Amalek. And he took with him the ephod that the priest wore as part of the garments. Now, basically, if you don't know what the ephod is, the priest had the headdress, he had a robe, and on top of the robe, it's kind of like almost like an apron-looking thing, and it was sewn with threads of gold, blue, scarlet, and purple. So it was a very ornate, very royal-looking piece of garment that went part of the whole ensemble. Now, David, okay, going back to verse 9, chapter 23, David knew that Saul was plotting harm against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." Okay. Now, when David starts to pray, pay very close attention to the wording of the prayer, and see if you can pick up on something. Then David said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, your servant has surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard?" Anybody notice the difference in this prayer versus the first one he gave? Remember the first one, he was just like, hey, Lord, shall we just go attack the Philistines? And this one right here, listen, I mean, I'll read it one more time. Oh, Lord, the God of Israel, your servant has surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? If you read, if you kind of pick up on it, the big difference between the first prayer and this one is that in the second time David prays, David's a little bit fearful.
Yes,
it's kind of interesting though.
Yes.
David went to go face the Philistines, but of course David has fought the Philistines before. In fact, he fought the biggest one they had. So like fighting Philistines, or David's like, it's like Philistines, that's nothing. I'll fight him with one hand behind my back, and I'll still win. Like, he has no trouble facing off with the Philistines. But when it comes to Saul, though, on the other hand, David's a little bit fearful of this man. I mean, this man has been actively pursuing David for one purpose, to kill him. Saul's hunting him, is trying to hunt him down to kill him. And I do find it also kind of interesting, if we go back a little bit, where Saul says, God has given him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. It's interesting because if you go to some of the chapters before this, God has already rejected Saul as king. And also right before this, Saul has just killed God's high priest and the priest in the city of Nod. And it seems like Saul still has this delusion that God is still on his side, even though he's been rejected by the Lord and David's now going to become the new king. Saul still thinks he's going to get a solid victory here. Now, when David does say that prayer, though, what is the first thing that he asks for? He asks for the ephod of the high priest. Okay. David is reaching out for that particular garment of the high priest. Now, as far as the exact function of the ephod, again, it's just part of the garb. But I do kind of find like a little bit of a parallel between a few things here. The act of David reaching out for the garment to say a prayer to the Lord. What's a story that we've heard where somebody reached out for a garment and hoping that their prayer would be answered? Yeah. Mark 5, verses 25 to 34, the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I could just reach out and touch his garment, I'll be healed. And here's what David's asking. It's like, even though the high priest that he could appeal to is not there. He's like, just having the garment of the high priest, I can appeal my case to the Lord and get an answer from him. Even though he didn't need the ephod for the first prayer, but in this particular case, he's like, I'm going to have faith that the Lord is going to help deliver me. He's going to give me the answer that I need for this. And again, because the high priest in the Old Testament again was a precursor to Christ. If you read in the book of Hebrews, starting down the last part of chapter 4, and then all the way through 5, it just keeps referring to Christ as our high priest. So this is David trying to appeal to the high priest. It's like the garment of the high priest. If I just have this, he will help me. Now the Lord does answer. David. And the Lord said, starting right here at the end of verse 11, and the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah surrender me and any men into my hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. So he gives him a very direct answer. He's coming for you. And if Saul besieges the city, these people are going to give you up. Even though you just finished saving them, you saved the city from the Philistines, they are going to surrender you. Well, the Lord said, okay, the Lord said Saul's coming. The people are going to surrender him, so I guess that's it, right? The Lord said it's going to happen. That's what's going to happen, right? Well, let's keep reading and see what happens. Then David's men, who were about 600, arose and departed from Keilah. And they went wherever they could go. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the expedition. David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. So here we have a very unique situation. God just told David two things would happen, and they didn't. Okay? This is a good illustration of where God has a foreknowledge about something, but he didn't predestine it to happen. Okay? Now, if you go to the first part of the chapter, God said, I'm going to give you the Philistines. It's like, all right, if you arise, go to Keilah, I will give you the Philistines into your hands. I would say that's a pretty good instance. It's like, God's like, okay, this is what's going to happen, and it will happen. But in this particular case, if David had stayed put, God's telling, say, David, this is what Saul's going to do. Here's what's going to happen if you stay put. Exactly. He would have lost everything. So David was wise, and he just did what he wants to do. He just got up and left. Okay? But what's really great about this passage is even when we are come into a situation where we're fearful, where we have doubts. I mean, and David had a really good reason to be fearful. I mean, somebody's hunting him down to take his life. But David handled it in the correct way. He's like, okay, let me appeal to the Lord and see what I need to do. Even though he was already told, hey, Saul's coming, he still wanted to ask the Lord. He's like, okay, let me just see what the Lord wants. Maybe Saul won't come. Maybe I could stay here and call. He's been running from Saul. He just finished fighting. I'm sure David and his men would have loved nothing more just to have stayed put in that city for a while, just to rest and not have to keep running. But that's not how it worked out for him. What's really great is the illustration that it gives that when you're faced with huge uncertainties like this, when we appeal to our high priest Christ, he already knows exactly what the answer is. He knows exactly what you need to do and how things are going to turn out. Even if it's an answer that you're not going to like. I mean, I'm sure David did not like the fact that he heard Saul's coming and these people are going to give you up. But David still had a choice. He's like, okay, I'm going to save my life and I'm going to get out of here. Okay, the other illustration here. Even though it didn't specifically say that David put on the ephod again, he took the garment for himself when he offered that prayer. So, like in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, having put on Christ, because again, all these garments and the high priest again are representative of Christ in the Old Testament. That for you are Christ, and you are all Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. David, again, the anointed king, he had a promise put over his life that God was going to see him become the king of that nation. And even though he was fearful, he appealed to the great high priest in his moments of doubt, and God gave him the answers he needed to deliver him. So, there are some things going on right now, with Liz and I, as I was reading through this, it's like, we got some things that we're kind of uncertain about. We have a new kid. We're gonna have a new little one coming up here in March. In case anybody didn't know, I wasn't using this to make that announcement, just use it as an illustration. And there's a lot of uncertainties. It's like, okay, we're gonna have a second kid. Do we need to get a bigger place? Do we need to rent a bigger place? Where's our the finances that we need to get all the things done to prepare for this child. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty. And yes, have I been a little doubtful that it may happen? Of course. But I do need to remember, I do need to hold on to the promises that Christ has given us, that he will be faithful to us, and he knows exactly how things are going to help. He knows how things are going to pan out, even if I don't. Even during our times of uncertainty, he knows what's going to happen, and he's got it covered. So that's what I leave. And again, this is a very short message. That's what I leave you today. So in your times of doubt, when you're fearful, appeal to your high priest. Put on his righteousness. Appeal to him, and he will answer you. He will give the answer that you are seeking. Lord, give us the faith to reach out and touch your garment. Give us the faith to appeal to you, bring to you our worries and our doubts, that you will give us the answer that we need to hear. Not the answer we want, but the answer that we need to hear, and that we take that word by faith, and that we don't let it go to waste. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you with our fears, with our doubts. We thank you, Father, that you will listen, and we thank you, Father, that you do answer us, that you love your children. Help us to walk in that faith, Father. Help us just take that moment, just again, to reach out and just touch the hem of your garment. Thank you, Father, for all you do. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.